This is Channel 2.
Hey, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time our first guest of the afternoon, Mr. Steve Nash. Steve, welcome onto the show.
Thank you.
We kind of got you in here to talk about a lot of the, not really about business at all, but about a lot of the crazy stuff and amazing stuff that you've been doing over the last couple of years for a charity that you've given an awful lot of support to. So let's start off by telling people about the charity and what it, what it's all about. I'll let you do that.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on Business Bunker.
It's a pleasure.
So I'm a volunteer from Stacey Smiles that are based in Gravesend in Kent.
And hence the cheesy track, come up and see me, make me smile.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a charity that was formed by a set of parents, Warren and Samantha Moll, after their daughter got diagnosed with neuroblastoma cancer back in 2009, 2010. And she fought a very brave battle until she passed away in March of 2015. At that point, the family wanted to do a legacy. They weren't quite sure what legacy to do. So we had a discussion. And we found that the one thing that they couldn't actually do when they were with Stacey is actually enjoy those memories. All the memories were inside either four walls of home or the four walls of hospital, or actually an event to raise money for some treatment in the US had it become available for her. Unfortunately, with a lot of these children, I mean, there's 100 cases per annum with neuroblastoma cancer, 2 in 10 chance of survival when they're typically under the age of 5. So you can put £1 million into their bank account. That child probably is not going to be well enough to leave that hospital and go anywhere, let alone get onto a flight for 12 hours and go over to the US and endure like 3 months worth of treatment. So we decided that a lot of the families, like Warren and Samantha, they don't want to spend any money. They feel bad spending money. They actually feel bad going out and enjoying themselves. Like they feel that a lot of people are watching them and that they should be spending every penny they've got, putting it into the bank, waiting for treatment. So we create special wishes and treats for those families that coincide with the child's chemotherapy treatment because it affects the nervous the nerve tissue, starts in the adrenal gland and works its way through the neck and the chest and the abdominal and the spine. It can render them with no immune system. And I know it sounds cheesy, but a lot of them, the only immune system they've got is actually a smile and a laughter, okay? So we coincide some of those wishes that we do for those families and children with their treatment.
Okay.
So that they go into the, when they go in to have their treatment, they're probably in the best possible frame of mind to have that.
Fantastic. And some of the things you've done to raise money are just unbelievable. So I'll tell you what, Steve, let's start, just talk, because we want to hear about it. And I know that you've done this for the reasons that you've just outlined.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you are a bit mad, really, aren't you? Let's face it.
Well, your listeners won't be able to see, but I'm a perfect example of mind over matter. I'm not an athlete, okay, but I have a set of trainers, okay, and I've got my health. So what I decided to do, I know the family anyway, that's how I got involved. I walked from Spurs training ground to Gravesend, which was 30 miles, and then I did a 100-mile walk with a friend of ours as well. That was over 3 days. Various other kinds of walks, but then about last year I was having a discussion with the founder of the charity, Warren, and after a couple of drinks, I found myself agreeing to not only do the London Marathon that I'd already got a place for, but we spoke about how we can promote Stacey Smiles, because we help families in Preston, down to Bristol and across to London. But we don't have a presence up there. So I said, it's almost like one of us needs to walk from one end of the country to another, because it's not just the treats and wishes. The family are very much involved with solving kids' cancer, part of a consortium that is trying to find a cure for this in the UK. I found myself doing the London Marathon on April the 22nd, which was the hottest marathon on record.
It was the worst thing ever.
And then 3 days later, my trainers went on and I walked from John O'Groats down to Land's End, which was 925 miles.
He's completely barking mad, isn't he?
We followed you. Do you remember? We followed you all the way through it.
And interesting statistics, right? Bearing in mind that you can go to probably Scotland any day of the week and you'll encounter a shower or rain. I encountered in 31 days okay, I encountered 2 hours of rain.
Well, because it was the hottest summer.
So they've invited him back.
How can you walk through Scotland right,
not get
for
wet.
15 days and have 2 hours of rain? And the other thing, I didn't get a single blister.
Really?
I didn't get a single blister. So as I say, a lot of it is mind over matter, and I think it's just a testament that pretty much you can do anything if you're determined and you're passionate enough to do it. I'm not an athlete. Anyone can do anything if you put your mind to it. And you said about business, and you said you're talking about something completely different. It's not business. This is 100% business. I'm part of a business networking group, and I attend one weekly down here in Kent. And through that business network, I was able to meet probably about 80 different individual business people from John O'Groats to Land's End.
Oh, okay, right.
Complete strangers coming out with local bakers, coming out with cakes and sweet makers, giving me support, walking with me, and then doing high five at a roundabout. And another business would then come out.
Right.
All these complete strangers. The thing is that charity is powerful. It's a two-way street. Anyone that thinks any different is mad. It's we've got supporters, and businesses obviously have clients, and I think the two can work extremely
absolutely
well together.
And I think you proved that in spades as well, Stu. So tell us what the outcomes of your epic few weeks in April and May of that year. You did all those things. Presumably you raised a fair amount of money.
Yeah, I raised about £12,000. The most important thing is from the length and breadth of the country, people know
it's awareness,
more about neuroblastoma, and they know more about us. So big tick in the box.
Absolutely. And then last year you also were one of the main people involved in the ball that you staged for Stacey's Miles. Just tell us a little bit about that, because you raised a load more money there from auctions and things.
We basically at a hotel in London for this business group primarily. We got a lot of business people together, about 174, and we had let's say, to take that experience that were on there. Fantastic night by all. We had an auction and we raised about £7,500, which was fantastic.
Absolutely.
A lot of this money, we have a home, like a mobile home down in Battle in Crowhurst Park. And basically, we've bought that.
Right.
And that is somewhere for the family to go pre and post treatment to just be themselves.
Okay.
And everything around there that costs money to entertain them is paid for.
Right.
We don't just do something for the child, okay? We try and find out what makes the father, the mother, and the siblings tick and do something for them as well, because
absolutely,
they're all involved in this.
And they need some relief as well,
exactly. So a lot of the money that's donated goes towards, like, maintaining the home and allowing families to go there all throughout the summer. We've just sent a family to the US. It's our first one to Disneyland. He's about to go through quite a considerable amount of treatment. His name's Kobe. He's about to go through some considerable amount of treatment. So we've sent the family out there so, again, he can be in the best possible place when he returns.
Fantastic. Really fantastic. There's so many elements to this that are good. I mean, but it's this total support thing that you're doing that makes it so different.
Well, just one thing probably might explain how we interact with business. It was about 4 years ago I was brought into this business networking room, walked in there. I'm a business person myself, but I walked into this room and I wasn't there for business. I was there for charity. I didn't know what on earth I was going to say to them, but I thought of something. I told them why I was there. Stacey was alive at the time. And after I finished speaking, there was a guy that came up to me and he gave me £50 and said, "It's what I have," he said, "and it's what you're going to have. I can't let you leave. I may not see you again." And there you go. So I said to him, "I'm really humble to take this money, and you're probably really humble to give it. But I gave it to him back, and I said, that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to shake a bucket. One of our slogans is, I'd rather shake hands than tins. I said, I'd rather have £50 of your time, your experience, your knowledge, your resources, your presence, the doors you open, the doors that we can knock on." And that guy took the £50 and then just stared at me. And then we went and had a coffee. And I said, this is what we do. We turn that into £500 for you and £500 for me. Mm. I found out about his business and what he does. He's an insurance guy in Rochester. And I was able to talk to some people and some supporters that we know. And I was able to get him about £800 worth of business.
Wow.
In return, he was able to get about £1,000 worth of donations our way just by putting our slogan onto his website, sending an email out to his clients to say, over the next couple of months, I'm going to be supporting this charity. Mm. We might as well have sewn up our pockets. We got £1,000. He got £800. He got business awareness. We got a donation. We were able to put a smile on the child's face, and neither of us spent money. Thus, our slogan was born, Partners, Not Pockets.
Fantastic.
That's great.
That's a brilliant story, isn't it? That's fantastic. And you continue this work today.
Yeah.
It's kind of taken over a bit of your life, really, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, I don't have children, and I don't play golf.
Right.
So that probably frees up an awful lot of one man's time. Right? In fairness, I don't have children. A lot of the people that are around Warren and Sam, I'm a project manager by trade.
Right.
So when it comes to managing all the events, I pretty much just treat them like a project.
Yeah.
Warren pulled on everyone's strengths, basically.
Yeah.
And secondly, I don't have children.
Yeah.
So I do have more time on my hands. And it's something that I love.
Yeah.
And they are friends of mine. And to just see the stories that come out, is quite heartwarming.
Yeah.
So
it's one of those things that absorbs you eventually, though, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, because, and I mean that in the best possible way, because it becomes a focal point for everything. Mm. But as you're describing it, though, Steve, it's more than just the charity. It's more than just raising money. Mm. It's about making connections. You know, you walk the length of the country to tell people about it.
Yes.
Yeah, and get that message out as far and wide as you can. So it's about the whole community that you've created around that, really, from a business point of view as much as a charity point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it's, to be honest with you, business tries to penetrate communities quite often, okay, which I totally understand. But I think charity, personally speaking, is a fantastic stepping stone between a community and a business.
Mm.
And if a charity can actually bring business and community together as a third person, then it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where did you decide in the pathway of all this to change the whole model of charity?
You see an awful lot of people shaking buckets on streets. I think you see less of them now. I think there's more charities that get involved with business. And I was sitting there trying to figure out how we could get inroads into certain places, into certain companies. And then it's when I got invited to this business group, I thought, these guys are in the room and these guys could provide pretty much everything that we need. But I'm not going to shake a bucket. I've never stood up in front of a business and asked for money. If people want to donate, they will do. We've got, obviously, the website. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook quite heavily. I don't need to go into a room and say to a load of business people, I need money donated. It's obvious. I'm a charity. I don't need to say that. All they want to know is companies don't have a lot of money now that's kind of disposable income to give to a charity. And you've also got the, what's when companies support charities?
What is it called? Corporate social responsibility.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of companies just go and put money into a charity's bank account, and I know that can just, and then just tick the box.
Quickly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What we look for businesses that can actually support us throughout the year, and that is kind of, it gives a warm feeling to people for a company that actually does that. We turned on its head, basically, because that is how the first business meeting I had embraced me on that. They embraced me so well on that. That I thought, we've got something here. Not many charities go into these business networking groups.
No, absolutely.
I don't think that many charities realise how powerful they are. They've got a sob story to tell, okay? And they think that they can just say that and then and they've got nothing else to offer.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And they have.
Yeah, absolutely right. I am involved with two charities. And it's interesting when I get approached by other people looking for charitable donations for me and as a business, they without being too harsh about it, they're pretty poor at putting across what they want.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you something that's a real heart-rending story about whatever their client group is and go, give us money. And the fact is, I get a dozen of those a week.
Yeah.
And you become immune to it after a while because you can't support everything.
Yeah.
But it's about making that effort to get involved in what you're doing. And one of the things I've found with some of the charities I'm involved in, the people in the charity tend to be entirely focused on whatever the cause of the charity is, and they tend to be experts in that. They're not experts in communicating, in marketing, yeah, in sales, and all the other kind of business skills that you actually need to get something on the map and to get income coming in. So you're absolutely right. To actually get involved and go out there and get involved is unique, really. There's not many charities that actually do that. Yeah, cool. Steve, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time.
Yeah, cool.
If people want to find out more about Stacey Smiles,
yes,
what's the website or the best way to do that?
You can find Stacey Smiles on Facebook.
Mm.
On Twitter is at Stacey Smiles, or there's www.staceysmiles.org.uk.
Fantastic. Steve, thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you in and to hear you talk about it and all the stuff that you've done. All power to you and all the people that support you,
thank you
for the fantastic work that you have done and you continue to do, and we wish you much success with that. Just while we're talking to you, though, you may mention that you're a project manager. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing at the moment, project management wise.
Okay. Well, I've set myself up with a company called The Project Mentor. So I've been in project management since 1992. All sorts of project management delivery across Europe, the Middle East, Libya, on the border of Syria. There's some pretty hairy projects that I've been responsible for, deploying satellite broadband to schools in Tanzania, South Africa, and across like Botswana, etc., through to delivery of projects in Scotland and Northern Ireland. So if there's any, my focus is basically a company that wins a tender,
yeah,
for example,
yeah,
and then when they win that tender, they've got to go through the tender process and put it together. They might need a project manager to help do that, and then bringing their company together to ultimately deliver the project. And that's the sort of thing that I now do.
Fantastic. So if anybody wants a complete overachiever managing their project, you know where to come.
It says this word overachiever and it fascinates me. It's such a judgment, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, how can you overachieve?
No, well, because he does.
You can be a high achiever.
No, he's overachieving. He's
really amazing.
No, he's
worked.
No,
that's wrong, doesn't
no,
it?
No,
exactly.
No, 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 that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing.
It's said to me, oh, you're an overachiever. I'm like, how can you overachieve?
Yeah, yeah.
You can be a high achiever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no.
I want to ask a question.
No, hold on. I need to answer your question first, though.
You two wacky. I know, it's like a duel, isn't it, today?
An overachiever is someone that's exceeded being a high achiever.
Can
book.
You do that?
Yeah, yeah, you can.
Well, he's just made that up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well recovered.
Yeah, yeah, thank
that's
you.
A Paulism, isn't it? Can I ask, eh?
Yeah.
I want to ask you, finishing up
on that, just very quickly. I used to work for Citibank, the American bank, and I got a new boss and we didn't get on, and he did my appraisal and he said, you're an underachiever, and I just went, you're an over-expector.
And there's the door.
Yeah.
That's I used to work for.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly. Steve, just tell us the rainbow of emotions that you went through during your toughest challenge.
Oh, wow. Well, the 2 hours of rain in 31 days were the first 2 hours of the walk.
Mm.
Okay. So you can imagine the first 2 hours of the walk, pretty much on my own, sheet rain, was horrible. But the thing is, the amount of people that I met, especially through Scotland, that didn't know who I was, what I was really doing, would ask me what I was doing, and offer comfort and words and humour and a bit of banter, etc., and actually start walking with me.
Right.
It sounds cheesy, but it was. Although I was walking on my own, there was always somebody, I suppose, that would ask me a lot along the way what I was doing, etc. So it kept me kind of. Kept me kind of going there. I was in pain for a lot of it. I suffered from a back pain. I was chased by a bull.
You were chased by a what?
I was chased by a ball. had to go flying over a fence, chased by a ball. I was chased by another ball with somebody who decided to walk with me. And I got out of the field thinking, well, that was a close escape. And as I turned around and looked at the ball that was walking away, I then went flying several foot into the air and face planted the ground because I disturbed a ram that I didn't realise was standing behind me, who had taken a dislike to me and run at me with the horns, much to the humour of the person standing next to me.
And the bull.
Yeah, you met my mate, the ram. Yeah, you get away from me, the ram gets you.
I had various altercations. Some of the roads were fairly dangerous.
Yep.
So, obviously, on some occasions, I wouldn't be sitting here now without diving into people's gardens over their fences sometimes.
Wow.
Especially when there's a group of elderly people all having an afternoon tea and I go flying over the fence and my cat turned around the wrong way and my rucksack and landed on the floor.
How did you get through the pain? What was it that you were thinking, feeling, saying, doing?
I know this is going to sound really, really cheesy, but I just thought this pain here will go. The pain in the people's minds and in their lives of why I'm doing it, that pain will not go.
Mm.
And I know that sounds cheesy, but it does.
Yeah.
It did go through my head. The other thing that got me through it is I thought of a comedy in my head that I'm going to be writing in the next few months. And so
he's an overachiever.
I told you, didn't I? Didn't I tell you he's an overachiever?
Each day I was thinking of characters and scenes and storylines, and so that just kept me going.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, when I was down in Cornwall, a group of kids, I think there must have been about 12 or 13, there was about 10 of them come round the corner on their bikes, went too wide, I was in the middle of it, and they drove straight into me, so again, another injury. So when I finally got to Land's End and I started to sink that first pint, I was stung, I was bloodied, I was cut, I was tired, I was bruised. Mm. But I was one happy man.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well done.
Fantastic, fantastic story.
So what next? What's bigger now?
Well, after the plays writing.
Yeah.
And the Cornish people that he met, dodgy people.
Yeah, I haven't thought about what's yet. Yeah, I'd still like to do so. I do believe you can get the bug.
Of what?
Doing a challenge, a personal challenge. It would always be for Stacey Smiles. Whatever I do would be for Stacey Smiles. But I can't think right now as to what else I could do to top that unless I actually went abroad somewhere. So I've got something in my head for the next 2 years. But as I say, I've got to see whether it's sanity or insanity.
Yeah. I had a great friend, and we often talk about challenges, and he said a challenge is never a challenge unless you have 50% chance of failing.
Ah.
And I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Good. I wish you know you're just going to always do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Good stuff. Thank you for that, Steve.
Thank you.
Do follow up with stacysmiles.org.uk.
That's right.
As a website, or follow them on Facebook or Twitter and find out more about the kind of work that a charity's doing to help sufferers of neuroblastoma and their families.
That's right.
To have some relief and fun around the treatment that they're getting. Steve, thank you so much for
that. Thank you.